morning. How's everybody doing? One quick thing. You'll notice we got a full house this morning. Next Sunday will even be fuller. It's that time of year, you know, when that group from Alabama comes up, all those high school kids with the retirees, they come up through their little trip. So this time they're bringing 89 people with them. So here's what we're going to have to do. Of course, we're going to need the chairs in the aisle like we did last year and the time before. But we're really going to have to squeeze close to one another. That way we can fit everyone in. So dress accordingly, because it's warm in here this morning. Imagine what it's going to be with 89 more bodies. So don't wear your full-out winter coat unless you're going to take it off when you walk through the door. But just kind of think about that as we get ready for next week. For that. You know, this quarter, as we've been looking in our major theme, we've been talking about change and how we're going to change from glory to glory. And I know some of us this year, we have said certain things that we were going to stop doing. We said we were going to stop maybe drinking. Some of us have come forward and admitted that. Others of us we may not know about, but they've said, you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to stop drinking. Others may have said, I'm going to stop looking at pornography. I'm going to quit that. I've done it for years. I'm sick of it. I'm done. Some of us may have said that. Some of us may have said, you know what I'm going to stop doing? I'm going to stop gossiping. I'm going to stop talking behind people's back. I'm going to stop spreading rumors. I'm just going to stop it. And some of you have probably done that. And then some of us have maybe said, you know what? I'm going to stop being lazy. I've been sitting around expecting everybody else to do everything for me, and I'm finally going to get my act together and I'm going to help out. I'm going to work. I'm going to help this congregation. I'm going to help my family. I'm going to do all these things. I'm just going to stop being lazy. Those are good changes. Some of us have been on the positive side. You know what? I'm going to start doing some things. So maybe you hadn't been reading much. And you said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start reading my Bible. I really need to read my Bible. So this year I'm going to read my Bible, and I've got praying first. I got reading second. I hadn't been talking to God, right? I hadn't been reading, I hadn't been listening to Him, and I haven't been talking to Him. This year, I'm going to start that. Whether it be small or big, I'm going to start doing that. Some of you have done that, I know. Some of us have also said, you know what? I'm going to start teaching. I've got some talents. I look at myself. I've got some abilities, and it's time to start teaching. And we had several of you for the first time in this congregation teach this year, and we are thankful for that. Some of you may have never taught before in your life. Maybe you're ready. Some of you have said that. And then now one more change here that we've talked about is maybe I'm going to start having people into my house. I'm going to be hospitable. I'm going to share what I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I've opened up my home, or I've taken them out to a restaurant, or I've done all those different types of things. And again, these are good changes to be made. But as you looked in the mirror and you decided that you were going to make these changes, or you're going to make some others, did you stop to ask yourself the question, why? Why am I making all these changes? Why did I decide that I was going to stop looking at pornography? Maybe I did it for myself. Maybe I realized how destructive drinking was to my liver. Or how destructive smoking was to my lungs. Or how destructive gossiping was to my reputation is ruined that I can't even be told anything without someone saying, oh, they're going to go and tell everybody. Maybe I did it for myself. Or maybe I stopped doing things for other people. Maybe I'm the one who's drinking and I see what it's doing to my family. Or I see what it's doing to my friends. Or I see what my gossip has done. And so I do it for them. I look out for them. Or maybe I've made a change because you know what? I really care about God. I finally learned something this year that I didn't know. I was doing something that I thought was right, but it turns out it was wrong. And so because I love God so much, I'm willing to change it. I would like to suggest to you this morning that a change worth making is a change that involves love. And it is a love for yourself. It is a love for others. And in every one of those situations, you better have a love for God. Otherwise, if you just stop drinking, and I'm going to use that one throughout because it's an easy one. I just stopped drinking. I'm done. I see what it's doing to my life. That's fine. I love myself. I see what it's doing to me at work. I see what it's doing in all these areas. Did you know that if you go to these AA meetings, and I know several of us do, you go to these AA meetings, you know what? Who's sitting around the room? Other people who have stopped drinking. You know why they stopped drinking? They saw what it was doing to their life. Is that a good change? Yeah, absolutely. But you know what that person may not be? They may not be a child of God. They may not be doing it because it is sin and it is wrong. Maybe they're just trying to better themselves. And if we are a people who are claiming to be Christians, and the only reason that we are changing is for our betterment of self, that is not a change worth making. It is worth making to protect yourself. But it is not anything that is going to be worthwhile. And I want you to see that. You know, we just read that passage in Ephesians chapter 5. And it's a very blanket statement. And I'm going to make a caveat here this morning. Most of these verses that I'm going to use, in context, are not talking about change. But they are principles and they are fact of what happens in human nature, you might say, or in religious nature. And in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands are told to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And I want you to notice what it says about a blanket statement about human beings who love. Verse 28. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Is it okay to love your own body? Yeah. In fact, we're supposed to love it. Notice how he says it here. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Human beings who love their body, they don't do what is going to cause harm to their body. They give their body what they need. So if their body doesn't need the sugar, they don't give the body the sugar. They give it the fruits and the vegetables and the water. They give it what it needs because they want it to be nourished. What do you do when you love yourself and you realize what your body, what you're putting in your body is doing to you? If you love yourself, you're going to quit. Now, I'm not saying you cut out sugar. I'm not saying that you've got to do all of that. But the person who eats only candy, what do they have? We call them malnourished, don't we? They don't have what they need. If you love yourself, you will give your body what you need. And guess what your liver doesn't need? Doesn't need cirrhosis. Guess what your lungs don't need? They don't need cancer. But guess what? All those things that I keep putting, that's valid. And if I love my body, I might quit all of that, right? But there's more to it than just the love of your... It's the love of your whole life. The way that it encapsulates everything. Go to Matthew chapter 16. And you might include this in the person that loves his spiritual life. The person that really loves what his essence is. Jesus says it's not what you put on that makes up a man, right? You remember that in Matthew chapter 6? It's not what you put on. But Jesus begins to tell his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 that he is going to have to suffer many things at the hands of the Jews. And Peter doesn't like that at all, right? And this is the time when Jesus says to him, if you'll notice verse 23, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me. For you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." And Jesus said this to his disciples. If anyone would come after me, you want to follow me, you want to be one of mine, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would, and here it is, save his life. I'm going to substitute the word love his life. If you love your life, if you want to save your life, you will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What you are really all about is giving up yourself for the sake of Jesus. Because notice verse 26. For what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he lose his own soul? You can make all kinds of changes in your life that you want. And you can achieve them. And you can do them. But if your life is not about following and pleasing Jesus, what does that get you? That gets you being like one of these people in 2 Timothy 3. That it said, difficult days will come. And the first thing out of Paul's mouth to Timothy is that people will be, in verse 2, lovers of self. That's all they care about, is their self. And verses 4 and 5 would say, they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so we have to ask the question that Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? You achieved everything you wanted. That's what the guy in Luke 12 is. That's that rich fool, you remember? He had worked really hard to get a lot of stuff. And so his fields have brought forth a lot of produce, right? And he looks at himself and he's like, man, I got too much stuff. What am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And I'm going to store it up. And I'm going to say to my soul, soul, be merry. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Which, by the way, was a change for him. Because he had been out working hard in the field. And he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to relax. And God said to him, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. And the statement is, and so it is toward those who are not rich toward God. We need to make changes for the betterment of our physical body. But our changes need to be for our spiritual life. And if all these changes I'm making this year don't account for God, I can gain them all, and I lose my soul. What did I gain? Zilch, nada, nothing. Change worth making is a change that you love yourself and love for God. A change also worth making is a change that you make because you love other people. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 8, 9, and 10 is really a discussion on meat sacrificed to idols. And I'm not going to go in and I'm not going to take the time to really talk about that. But that would have been a big struggle with pagans, people coming out of pagan religion, and the Jews, who had not been pagans. And there would have been a big struggle in the church about all of these various things. And the conclusion in chapter 10 is you better do what is best for your brethren. And there are some things that are said. So let's take one of those changes we said at the beginning. Let's take drinking. So I'm a husband. And I have a problem with drinking. You know how that affects? Maybe it affects my wife. I come home and she never knows what in the world I'm about to say to her. Maybe that affects my kids. I come in and they don't know what I'm going to do if they've messed up at school today. Or it affects my employees. Or it affects my coworkers. It affects all these other people. And you say, you look in the mirror one day and you say, why am I doing this to all these people? Why am I making their life so hard? That would be what the apostle said. One of the reasons, if you love other people, is you're going to do things in your life that will build them up. Notice that in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. All things are lawful, the Corinthians would probably say. But Paul would say, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, again, they would come back in rebuke. But not all things build up. And here it is, 24. Let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. That will require change. Because you've been doing something that you thought was good. But you realize it doesn't build up your brother. And notice what he says, your neighbor. Who's your neighbor according to Jesus? It was that Samaritan, wasn't it? It was all people. I looked out for their good. Or maybe I don't want to put, not only just to help them build up, so I'm going to change in a certain way that is going to really build them up. Or maybe I'm going to change so I stop being a hindrance to them. Isn't that what Jesus told Peter to do? Remember back in Matthew 16 we just looked at? He's got to go to the cross. Jesus knows he has to go to the cross. And Peter says, it'll never be. And what did Jesus say to him? Get behind me, Satan. Because your mind is set on the things of man and not on the things of God. Peter, you know what you've got to change? You've got to change your thinking. And that wasn't only just for Peter's sake. That was for Jesus' sake. That was a stumbling block to him. And so you'll notice at the end of your chapter, in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 10, so whether you eat or you drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give no offense, no way of stumbling, to the Jews, the ones who would be okay with eating the meats, or to the Greeks, or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, as I am of Christ. And so I can do all these changes for other people. But you know what he says in chapter 13? In verse 3, that great chapter of love. If I give all that I have, some say to the poor, and if I give my body up to be burned, those are major changes, aren't they? But I have not love, I gain nothing. I better be doing the things. If I make a change because I love other people and because I'm doing it for the glory of God, that is a change worth making. And finally, the obvious one. I've been reading this year and I read, man, what I was doing was wrong. I love God. That's kind of the simple way to do it. And if you do that, there are benefits now. And there are benefits later of that. I want you to go to Luke chapter 18. But as you're turning to Luke 18, I want to make sure that we remember something that goes on before this. You remember when Jesus calls Peter, James, and John, and Andrew? They're out fishing, right? And he tells them to go and cast their net on the right side. And they're like, Master, we toiled all night, but we caught no fish. But nevertheless, at your word, I'll drop down the nets. So they go out, right? And they catch so much fish that their boats begin to sink. And you remember Peter's reaction to that? Depart from me, O man, for I am a sinful, or depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And they came back to the shore, and Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. Or you'll be fishers of men. Remember what our text says? And they immediately left all and followed him. That is change. They left their work. They left their occupation. They left their father, by the way, back still cleaning up the boats. For Jesus. So then in Luke 18, you've got this rich young ruler that's got everything in order. He comes, But he's not willing to give up that one thing that he lacks, as Michael mentioned last week. And the disciples are kind of confused by all of this. Who can be saved? If this guy can't be saved, who can be saved? And Jesus said to them, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And that strikes a chord with our buddy Peter. And I want you to read with me what Peter says to him in verse 28. Peter said, "We have left our homes and followed you." We've changed and we followed you. Are we going to be saved? And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this life and in the age to come eternal life." Remember, maybe it hasn't even quite been a year ago when Doug basically preached that to us after Sunday morning lesson? Because he's one of those that his family were not Christians. And he didn't get up in front of us and say, "You know what, man, I wish I hadn't become a Christian." You know what he got up and said? "I love my mother and I love my father, but look what the church has given me." There are benefits for giving up things for the sake of God. Here and in the age to come, eternal life. And I would add into the list, you know, it said father and brothers and sisters. You know, one of the things that's maybe the hardest, it was hard for me to give up when I decided that I was going to convert and give my life to Christ. One of the hardest things to give up is friends. It's so difficult. Because, man, we've been with them. From the time out of our mother, some of them we went to kindergarten with the whole time. And then maybe some of them we just met them at a time in our life where we just bonded really well. That's hard. And they keep calling and they keep texting us. And that's hard to give up. But I would suggest that the one that leaves those influences that are causing evil, they can find those friends in the church. They can be there. But you know why I even began to think about this lesson as I close out this morning? There are two passages that we know really well. The second one is 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. But I want you to go there. I want you to go to James chapter 1. I was teaching a class not too long ago in the book of James, and we were talking about some various trials and things. And, you know, we talk about James chapter 1, about the man who remains steadfast under trial. He goes through temptation, and he gets through his temptations. He gets through it. He's strong in it. And there's that statement that is made about him in verse 12. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life." And that's where I usually stopped in my thinking. Because, man, if you stand fast in your temptations and your trials of your life, you get the crown. And I left off this next phrase. "For all which God has promised to all those who love Him." And then that's when the second verse popped in my head. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. When Paul is concluding what he's saying to Timothy, "I'm being poured out as a drink offering. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to me, and not to me only, but to those who love His appearing." If I want the crown, I got to love God. And that's where that personal relationship with God comes in. It's not just about rules. It's not just about things you can do and things you can't do. It's about, do I love this person so much that I'm willing to do, and we might say, crazy things for them? I'm willing to make drastic changes to my thinking, to my actions, to my beliefs, all because my God said it. For it is what is best for me. For it is worth, it is what is best for other people. And I do that for them. Jesus says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words. And notice this. And my Father will love him. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And on top of that, we will come and make our home with him. You get the best, and I'm going to use the phrase, both worlds. Now and later. Don't you want that? I hope that our change this year is a change worth making. We cash in on the eternal value because we did it for the betterment of ourselves, the love of God, and the betterment of others, the glory of God. And we do whatever He says. And He will love us, and He will make His home with us. Maybe this morning you're ready to change. You say, you know what, I'm sick of going and doing all the things that I want to do. I'm sick and tired of what sin is doing to me in my life, and I'm sick and tired of what sin is doing to the others in my life. And I value my life. I love my life. And I want to save my life for all eternity. I have to be willing to lose that now. To relinquish authority to Jesus. And be willing, as He says, to take up our cross daily and follow Him. Are you ready to bury that old man in baptism? And to be raised up a new man, a new woman who is perfect in Christ Jesus? Won't you do that today? Or if you need the help of the brethren and you need the prayers, we'd ask that you would come now as we stand and as we sing.